We are live, and happy Friday to everyone. Judge McAfee's corruption revealed. Lemon logic, and the media accuses Trump of what they are clearly doing. This is the Propaganda Report's Drive Time News Blast. Happy Friday. Today is the big day that everybody is expecting Judge McAfee in Fulton County to let us know what his decision is about whether or not Fannie Willis is going to be able to stay on the Trump trial in Fulton County, despite her obvious corruption and abuse of power. And I'm going to say pretty confidently that she will be staying on this case. I don't see any way around it. My expectation is that Wade will probably get kicked off of the case, that McAfee will very calmly and deliberately, as though he's very thoughtful about the whole process, will tell us that, yes, everything that they were accused of was true, but it did not rise to the level of requiring the district attorney, Fannie Willis, to be removed from the case. And he might even issue a stern warning or a caution moving forward. I do think, again, Wade will be thrown under the bus, but Fannie's ass is staying. And it's all a show, in my opinion. It is all an attempt. This whole operation is an attempt to make it look like a fair process is going on, when in reality, protecting Fannie is going on. You see, McAfee, and this is a story I want to get into to start the show off. I make sure we're live on Rockfin. Yes, we are now. McAfee issued an order to I should say this before I go into all of this. I hope that I'm wrong about this. I truly hope that this judge has the balls to make me wrong about this, and I will happily come back on and do a stream later this afternoon if he dismisses Fannie, and I will say, I'm stupid, I'm wrong, and I respect your decision, but that ain't happening. I hope it does, but it's not. And this order, or this dismissal of some of the charges that he did yesterday, is, I think, evidence that there's no way that that's happening, because him dismissing these six counts from the indictment, three of them were Trump charges, was not a win, despite what the media and people that support Trump tried to convince people. This is not at all a win. It's a trick, is what it is. It's a trick, as I said, to make this look like a fair process is playing out, like he's impartial, like he's a fair umpire calling balls and strikes as best he can with no personal stake whatsoever in the outcome, which is not true at all. And I've laid that out in multiple shows. He has a lot of stake in the outcome of this. What's up, Candace? It's good to see you this early, too. He's doing this, in my opinion, McAfee, to pre-balance the scales, if you will, to make it look like Trump's side is getting a win, so it's tipping this way yesterday, right before it's about to tip in Fannie's direction when he announces today that she ain't going nowhere, she's staying on the case. That's the strategy on the surface level. This is perception control, which you don't typically think of that being a judge's job to do. But this is not actual law. I mean, it's a courtroom. It looks like it. But the way that this stuff is being determined is through the court of public opinion. It's just given the arena of a legal case because the law has been thrown out the window. It was a long time ago. I mean, we are living with a system of injustice, not a justice system. And in a system of injustice, it's innocent before proven guilty. It's corruption. It's abuse of power. It's the trial by media strategy. And in the trial by media strategy, one of the judge's roles, as McAfee says here, in my opinion, is perception control. Is to figure out, like in this case, not how to get rid, or should he get rid of Fannie or keep Fannie. That's never been what he's been trying to figure out, despite the fact that this has been framed as a dismissal trial or hearing or whatever. His role this entire time has been to figure out how to best use his judicial power to protect Fannie while also giving off the illusion of fairness. He's got to be a little bit of a magician here. I do not envy his role. I mean, he was put there and he accepted it. So I guess that's on him, but he's controlled. I hope I'm wrong. And I will personally apologize to him. I'll write him a freaking letter if I'm wrong about all this, but I don't think I'm going to be. So these counts, I'm going to tell you why these counts are not a win for Trump, the ones that were dismissed yesterday. Not because the six counts that McAfee threw out yesterday, not because they shouldn't have been thrown out. They absolutely should have been thrown out. On day one, they should have been tossed, laughed out of the courtroom the second he laid eyes on them 7 months ago. It should not have taken him 7 months to determine that these six counts in the indictment were fatally flawed. And that, to me, is a revealing of everything I've been talking about, the true nature of what he's doing here. No judge in their right mind, if this were an actual justice system we're dealing with that was impartial and fair, would have allowed any of these charges to go forward for even a second. I went through the indictment after it came out in August, and I pointed out how vague and how lacking in specificity and how bogus these charges were. I saw it. Other people saw it. You know the judge saw it. Yet he allowed them to move forward for 7 months before he dismissed them and threw them out because they're fatally flawed. And he doesn't have to wait for there to be a motion to get rid of those charges. He is the judge. He can look at them himself. He has the power to say, this is BS, it's bogus, I'm tossing them. He didn't do that. He only threw these six counts out, these charges, when the circumstances, because of Fannie's, her corruption emerged. Had it never emerged, he probably never would have thrown them out. He only threw them out because he had to. He had no other choice because he needed to create the illusion of fairness. So we're dealing with a judge here who was more than willing to let some of the most bogus, baseless, ridiculous charges last. And you can go even broader than this. This whole conversation about, is Fannie going to be thrown out? Is she not going to be thrown out? Let's get into the details of the legal. It doesn't. The entire indictment is BS. It should all be thrown out. It's all fatally flawed, and you can go through it count by count, and you can see that these RICO charges she is using base everything on overt acts in furtherance of a conspiracy. That's what RICO is, and that's what she specializes in. And overt acts, according to the law, it gives the prosecution such a wide range to say, hey, look, this guy across the street bent down and tied his shoe, which was a signal to Rudy Giuliani, who was in a hotel room on the other side with binoculars, that signaled him to go commit an insurrection on the Capitol. Therefore, the guy who tied his shoe is guilty of an overt act in furtherance of a conspiracy to commit insurrection. Arrest him, put him on trial. I mean, that's how ridiculous this is. And when you factor in that the actual legal process, it just really doesn't apply anymore. At least in these cases, it doesn't. It's just eroded so badly. And when you see Fannie Willis going into the courtroom, and literally, Fannie Willis, I don't know if you watched all of the hearings, but at one point, because Judge McAfee used to be her underling, he used to work for her, he donated to her campaign. If he throws her off the case, everybody in Fulton County calls him a racist MAGA Trumper, which he's not, because he was appointed by Brian Kemp. Brian Kemp hates Trump. Brian Kemp's on Fannie's side with this. Brian Kemp hates people who question the election. So McAfee, to rule against Fannie, is knowingly sacrificing his career, betraying the two people who put him where he was, both of whom were his bosses in the previous few years. And he's getting branded a racist for probably the next 10 or 15 years. Is that something he's willing to do? If he is, much respect to him, because he would be doing the right thing to throw her off this case. Although the person who should be thrown off the case is him. That's the most important person who should be thrown off the case. He should recuse himself. I'll go into that here in a minute, but the problem with these counts that they threw out is that they weren't thrown out in the very beginning. So if McAfee had never thrown these counts out, if they had just gone to trial, then at least there was still the possibility that he's just dumb, that he's just an incompetent judge that does not understand the law. Because I'd rather have an incompetent judge that really isn't great with the law, but who is committed to being fair and impartial, than a judge who is very smart, understands the law, but is secretly and covertly committed to being unfair and not impartial. Because a person like that can be very, very sly about how they are, about how they're biased. And that's what we're seeing here. And I'm just worried, I hope I'm wrong, but the fact that he's not going to throw this case out and the fact that he waited 7 months to get rid of the most obviously empty, ridiculous charges you've ever seen in your life. And I'm going to go through one of them in a second to show you just how freaking ridiculous one of these charges is. I mean, it's absurd. But the fact that he waited that long to do that, and the fact that he presents this even keel, reasonable, you know, demeanor, and that he's a white male Republican appointed by a Republican governor who most of the country have no idea, hates Trump, opposes Trump, and sides with Fannie. Most people don't know that. It gives the illusion that, oh my gosh, this is a Republican who sided with Fannie. How can you? Of course it's fair. A Republican did it. And this is all the fuel the people who hate Trump need or hate the co-defendants. And I'm not even I've never voted for Trump. I always have to qualify talking about this with this. I went to law school. I think the law is fascinating. I think the way that it works, when it works right, it's not perfect, but it's effective. It's good. It could always be improved. But what we're seeing right now is a complete erosion of that. Innocent until proven guilty, go screw yourself, is basically what it is now. You're guilty until proven innocent if the people conducting the trial don't like you. We're not going to use the justice system to protect people's rights. We're going to use them to abuse power and rub it in your face like Fannie Willis does. Fannie Willis is one of the most corrupt prosecutors you're ever going to come across in your life. And not just this case. She has a long history of corruption. She has risen to the top by being corrupt, just like Nathan Wade has. Nathan Wade got promoted in part, not just because he was banging Fannie, but because prior to the job that he got right now, he was corrupt in Cobb County. Because Sonia Allen, who was the attorney for the sheriff in Cobb County, hired Nathan Wade. He was banging her too. And she's even bigger than Fannie is. She hired him under the guise of investigating the deaths in a Cobb County jail. In the holding, or the prison, whatever. There's a couple inmates died. The families wanted to know why. And so they hired Nathan Wade to investigate it. But it turns out, because they were sued, that he was actually hired to cover up how they died. Because Cobb County knew how they died, because there were recordings of how he died. And the reason that they put Nathan Wade on the case was because if they had an open investigation into how the inmates died, then that makes the recordings that showed what happened, which the family were seeking through Open Records Act, it makes them exempt to the Open Records Act. So Nathan Wade was hired by this other big woman he was banging to prevent these families from getting access to the recordings that told them how their family members died. And this came out. And originally Nathan Wade said he was paid nothing for this until he was giving testimony in court. And it turns out he was given $550 an hour for 5 or 6 months, hundreds of hours, to pretend to be investigating a death. And when they said, "Do you have any records of the work that you did?" He said, "No, it's all in my head. It's untraceable, untrackable." Just like Fannie said, with all the money she paid him. So Fannie looks over here and says, "Oh my gosh, look how great they did at corruption. I should hire Nathan Wade to come bang me and do corruption up here in Fulton County. And you know what? Bring old Sonia Allen up here too, and we'll have a throuple. We'll have a Nathan Wade sandwich." I mean, it's unbelievable that these people get raises by being corrupt. That's how they make something of themselves. And yet we have half of the country not only defending these people, we have them begging for these people to be corrupt simply because they hate the person that they are directing their corruption at. It's going to get directed at them too. I mean, it is getting crazy how ineffective and just abusive our justice system has become. And that's not at every level. I know that there are good judges. My sister's a lawyer. I have friends who are lawyers. As I said, I went to law school. There's a lot of good people that work in that field. But at a broader level, what's being demonstrated is that, you know, you want to get rich and powerful, do some corrupt shit. And it should not be rewarded the way it is. I got completely off track there. A couple comments. Good morning to everyone. Say, yeah, people do suck sometimes. I would agree with that, Candace, but people can also be wonderful. I don't mean to be negative this morning. I see people celebrating things about this case that they shouldn't be celebrating. They should be raising the alarm bells for. Like the more we call out what's going on, the less power they have to brazenly abuse their positions. They depend on us remaining silent. So people suck, but people are great. And when people speak up, we can all work together and we can't stop these people. We told them, okay, good morning, Quest. Where was I here? So those six charges, I mean, this is just so ridiculous. Just on the surface, right? He determined that they were fatally flawed. A fatally flawed charge is one that can go nowhere. And in this case, had no specificity, it was vague. And the defense had no way to prepare to defend against it because they didn't know what it was. And when you read the indictment, that's all over the indictment. And it took the judge 7 months to figure this out. 7 months. Isn't that a little weird? Where is that indictment? Here we go. All right, so sorry, I'm trying to find the exact language that he put in this one because it's actually kind of funny. It is kind of funny sometimes, even though it sucks, but the way that they're able to be so serious about such ridiculous things, it's like an exercise in acting. Anybody who's in an acting class, watch some of these news anchors, watch some of these judges and prosecutors, watch Fannie Willis, great actress sometimes. Watch how they're able to say the most ridiculous, illogical bullshit with such a serious straight face like they actually believe it. I mean, it's impressive at times. Where was it? All right. So here's one of the charges that he waited 7 months to determine was fatally flawed. That was obvious to everybody else was fatally flawed the day that the indictment dropped in August. And this was one of the three that was against Trump. And this one is related to that phone call that Trump had with Raffensperger. So everybody knows about the phone call, the damning phone call where Trump was like, Raffensperger, I need you to find 11,000 votes for me. You motherfucker, you need to find the votes. I'm going to cut your fucking head. They act like Trump had a knife to his head and he was going to kill his family if he didn't go find these votes and flip the election, which he didn't do. And his family still survived. Anybody who's listened to that actual audio recording of that conversation between Trump and Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia, knows that that audio actually exonerates Trump of everything they accuse him of. I've made a montage of I've made an 8-minute one and a 15-minute one that I've posted multiple times that clearly shows that everything the media says about Trump trying to pressure him to do something illegal is a lie. But everybody has only listened, most people, to the 47 seconds of that audio recording of a 60-minute phone call. They've only heard the 47 seconds the media has pumped into their minds and then given them an interpretation of, and that is what their belief is based on. And apparently, that's the belief that the indictment is based on, too, because there's no way this judge would ever allow anything related to this phone call to be in an indictment if he knew or listened to the entire phone call or unless he was corrupt. It's just not feasible that any judge with a brain would not throw anything related to something so obviously disprovable out. And the guy was interviewed on WSB the other day. I don't know if you guys heard that, but McAfee did an interview. He's going around campaigning now. And I can't remember the radio host's name who did it. I used to be on WSB with Monica for years. We got thrown off because we talked about too many conspiracies. We talked about Jeffrey Epstein before you were allowed to talk about Jeffrey Epstein. And then one of Jeffrey Epstein's buddies who took a bunch of money from him bought the company that owns WSB. Bam, we're out of there. Now they got somebody interviewing Judge McAfee, and the guy asked Judge McAfee absolutely zero questions that were relevant whatsoever. He just threw him a bunch of softballs, and he asked McAfee about his campaign. He let him campaign. And then McAfee did bring up at some point, he said, look, I knew what my decision is before I even knew somebody was running against me, which is the stupidest shit I've ever heard, because I knew somebody was going to run against McAfee 6 months ago. Now, the people running, could they officially announce and qualify that they were running 6 months ago? No, they couldn't. That official day where his challengers could announce and qualify was like a week and a half ago. So up until then, like, everybody except me is going, he's running unopposed. I'm going, no, he's not. He's not running unopposed. He's definitely not running unopposed. For 6 months, I've been saying this. So if I know that this is true, I know that Judge McAfee knows that it's true. So don't believe his bullshit. He's a con artist who has an even keel demeanor. He's a good actor when it comes to, he's actually the perfect person to oversee this case for the corrupt actors who are trying to bamboozle the country. I mean, I don't know how I could know all these things 6 months ago and they're all of a sudden brand new to the judge involved in the case, because they're not. He's lying. But he goes on there and says, I already made my case. I'm not affected at all by politics. And people are like, do you believe him? Do you believe that he's not going to be affected by it? And they say that under the assumption that what McAfee was referring to was that he was going to disqualify her. It's like a false, they kind of projected into his words that he was suggesting he was going to get rid of Fannie. And they were saying, yeah, I believe him. And I'm like, I don't think you know what he was saying. I believe him too. I believe that he had already determined that he will not be getting rid of Fannie, that he'll probably be getting rid of Wade. And it's just such a stunt. It's just so, it's fun to mock this stuff and to just kind of see the drama. I mean, all these people are actors. They are all performers. They're all grifters for the most part. And it is interesting sometimes to see the dynamic of how it works and to, you know, mock how stupid they are. But my gosh, it is frustrating when it affects people who buy into it, people you know, your friends, who believe stuff that you know 100% is a lie. Like watching somebody who is your friend or family member get blatantly lied to by someone that you are 100% certain is a con artist is frustrating. This happens on a broader scale with politics all the time. I've had this happen with people I know in my personal life. You guys probably have known somebody too who's been a pathological liar, where the pathological liar works their way into a certain group and they are very, very good at lying. I mean, it's extraordinary the first time you experience a person like this. You don't even comprehend that somebody is capable of lying so effectively and so believably until you encounter it. And years ago, this happened to me with someone in a theater group that I knew. And this person had fooled everyone, fooled me in the beginning. And then I started noticing some of the contradictions and statements that this person made and some of the behavior that was going on. And then I started talking to friends of mine who told me things that I knew were untrue. So I started investigating a little, and I discovered very quickly, me and one of my other friends, that we had someone on our hands who was conning everyone and had a history, was a literal con artist. And that is how this person had survived for their entire life. It's like that, what's that show? Sneaky Pete. It's like Sneaky Pete was amongst us, but the problem is everybody liked them, but they didn't know that this person was like stealing from them in a way that tricking them into giving them money and making fake GoFundMes. All kind, it was really wild. And we tried to kind of tell people in like a soft way, and they get mad at you. They get mad at you if you tell them. So they have to like discover it on their own. And it was like crazy for like 6 months. I'm just seeing people that I know getting conned. And what I would do is I would ask questions to the person who was conning them that I knew if they answered, it would contradict what they had told people that I knew. And so that was effective. I would ask questions that created situations that exposed them to be a liar. And that worked for some people. For other people, even though they would see this, in fact, I know somebody, this was a female, this person was. She dated somebody that I was very, is a good friend of mine, and met his sister. and made a bunch of claims about where she went to college. What she didn't realize is that his sister went to the same college that she claimed to go to, and she made a bunch of claims about that college that his sister knew were 100% false. So she realized this was a con artist, warned my friend, but because when you're in the grips of a female that you are infatuated with, you will find justifications to believe what you want to believe. Confirmation bias. We seek confirmation bias. We avoid cognitive dissonance. That's the simplicity of how they divide and rule us and how they lie to us and how con artists work as well. And eventually, my friend had an awakening, and he came to me and he asked me about it. He asked me about some stuff she had done, and I realized that he had recognized it. And he said, what do you think? And I told him to trust his instincts because I knew he saw it then. But it took a really long time, and a lot of people got conned. And this is a person who doesn't have a lot of money, who is not a politician, who doesn't have power. And they're able to do this on a small scale. I mean, a couple hundred people able to con. These politicians like George Santos is like the prototypical con artist that you'll see who rose to power. He's just out and open about it. All of these other con artists are just better at it than him. And I'm not saying everybody there is a liar, which is hard to determine, but our nation has to become skeptical. We have to become healthy skeptics, not black pill skeptics. Black pill skeptics is not good. Healthy skeptics is good because you question with optimism. Like you seek information, and we don't get mad at each other for questioning things and for questioning each other, because we know there are con artists amongst us. And so if we all want to defend ourselves against them, we need to let each other know that it's okay to question each other. And everybody doesn't get everything right all the time either. I mean, so the other day, and I got a few emails about this or DMs about it, I was talking about Nikki Haley, and I said that she was a Native American. She's not. I was wrong. I misspoke on that. She's an Indian. I don't remember the exact origin of her background, but I said it wrong. And a couple people messaged me, and they're absolutely correct. I got it wrong. And I'm glad they messaged me. I want to know if I got it wrong. Like, we should be cool with that. We should want to seek the truth together. And I think the more that people are able to communicate across the aisle with that mindset, the less power any of these people have, because they depend on us not being able to do that. They depend on us being divided and ruled through these tribal mechanisms and emotional appeals, taking one side or the other, regardless of who it is we're following, and never having a conversation. And this Fannie Willis stuff is one of the biggest examples of them dividing people that's going on in the country right now, along with the abuse of power that they're just so open with. They're so open with it. They're trying to normalize it. They're trying to normalize it. And Judge McAfee, in my opinion, has made it very clear, and he will make it even more clear today when he does not disqualify Fannie, that abuse of power and corruption are welcome in his courtroom. He welcomes them in. That is what he's saying if he does not dismiss Fannie Willis. And he won't. Because if he dismisses her, this is the biggest trial in American history, they say. He's got to dismiss the entire district attorney's office. Gone. And if that happens, then there's this committee, I can't remember the full name of it, in Georgia, based on Georgia law, that it goes to, who then decides who is going to take over the prosecution next. This takes time. And the person who is the head of that is a Republican. And that Republican, so Fannie Willis, a lot of people don't know this. Fannie Willis has already been disqualified from a case related to the Trump, quote, January 6th trial. She was disqualified from this case, I think it was last year. One of the people that they wanted to bring in as a co-defendant, I can't remember the guy's name, maybe I think it's Burt something, but he was running for office in Georgia, a Republican, and he was one of the so-called fake electors. Fake electors, that's a made-up name. That's just a made-up name to smear the people involved in a legitimate, available process that had happened before, but because they want the public to think that it's wrong and insidious, they call them fake electors. And so this guy was one of those. And Fannie Willis was investigating him. And while she was investigating this guy, she held a fundraiser for his political opponent, a Democrat who was running against him. Can you imagine that? There's a district attorney who's investigating you for a crime, trying to put you in prison, and while she's actively investigating you, she holds a fundraiser for the person running for office against you. I mean, that's the kind of corrupt Fannie is. And the judge in that case disqualified her. So she was not allowed to bring this guy in as a co-defendant of Trump's. That did not stop her from naming him in the indictment as a co-conspirator and smearing his name. But he has still not been brought in because the prosecution got thrown over to this committee in Georgia, and the guy who's in charge of deciding who the next prosecutor is going to be has not chosen yet. And it's been a year. It's been a year, and he still has not chosen, which is fine, I think, because I think the whole thing's bogus. The point is, they do not want to throw out the entire district attorney's office because that guy will be in charge, and it will almost guarantee that this will not go to trial before the election. It'll effectively kill the entire thing. And as a white Republican guy living in Fulton County, Stacey Abrams, Fannie Willis country, I don't know that Judge McAfee wants to be known as the person responsible for helping the MAGA racist Trumpy Nazis, for saving them and ending the trial. He doesn't want to go down in history as that person unless he's some secret operative that's trying to help. In that case, more power to him. We will see. I don't know. Let me look at some comments here. Ian, good morning. What are you about to do, Ian? That's Ian who does the show. I'm not usually up doing some shows. It's different. It's definitely a different feel doing a show at 7 a.m. than it is at 9 at night or midnight. You have a different energy and you have a different group. It's good to see everybody. It's not a question of crime. It's not a crime to question an election. You're exactly right, except they try and make it a crime to question the election. It's wild. You're about to go save the economy by doing some work. There you go. Did you hear me talking about our mutual acquaintance who is a con artist and relating her to politicians? So there's a book called The Big Con. I always recommend people reading this book. Go. It's on Amazon. I can't remember the author, but it's a book about this traveling band of con artists who go around the country. And this was like in the 1930s. The writer went with them. He rode with them for a while, and he documented their tactics, and he gave names to all their strategies, and he just told the stories about how they would go from town to town, taking over these towns with a specific wealthy target in mind, and they would convince half the town, including the police officers and the politicians, to work with them on this con. So they would take over some store or something, and they would turn it into a fake horse racing place. And they would have the cops in on it, the politicians in on it, and they're all waiting for this one rich guy to come into town that one of them has baited. And when they get there, everybody's putting on a show for the rich guy, and the rich guy thinks that he's winning some horse races. It's his day, and the whole idea is to make him think he wins a little bit and then to rob him, to take everything he has. And by the time they do it, the guy, he doesn't even know yet, because they give a handler to him, and that handler takes him out of town. And by the time he's out of town and realizes every last dollar he came with is gone, there's nothing he can do. But the problem is that he still thinks he can win. It's crazy. So these people think they con them, but they think they can still win, and they're listed as a target, and then their name is passed on to the next roving band of con artists who also target the same guy and run the same freaking con on him. Because they don't get it, because confirmation bias prevents people from seeing the truth when cognitive dissonance is so painful and you don't want to admit that you've been had. And in these propaganda texts, especially the ones written by the British, the Wellington House, Lord Northcliffe, who sent, what's the guy's name, Sir Gilbert Parker over here to, this is during World War One, to lead the operation to turn a neutral America into a pro-war on the side of the British country. They sent him over here to sidle up with a bunch of wealthy, influential celebrities. And first and foremost, though, before that, with the intellectuals in the country, because he was a well-known author, a literary celebrity, and everybody loved him and wanted to be around him. And he wrote letters back and forth to Northcliffe about how gullible the American people are and about how these academics over here who loved him because he was a lord and he could bring people who were dukes around to their parties, and they just wanted to be like him. He boasts about how stupid they are and how he conned them. He said that they were the easiest people to fool because they were unable to see that they could possibly be conned. And that's like the most effective, like that. It's hard. Nobody wants to do that, but I don't know how to turn that off. It's just, everybody has to stop getting pissed at each other and stop slamming each other when somebody gets something wrong. Like, this whole thing with COVID, the COVID thing was messed up. Everybody knows that. I don't judge people for anything they really did unless they're continuing to do it, unless they were dicks for doing it. But there's a lot of people who have this mentality of, and this is a problem with the Libertarian Party right now, in my opinion anyway, where the approach is, if you got the vaccine, I didn't get the vaccine. So I'm not, just to clarify that, I'm not doing that to justify my own actions. I didn't get it. I was very cautious about it. I researched a lot of it, and I told people to look into the same stuff I did and to make a decision themselves. I don't judge anybody for doing that. I wanted the thing to work. I chose not to get it. But I'm not going to condemn somebody because they chose to, and a flood of misinformation. And not to mention, it didn't kill everybody. It helped some. Like, we don't fucking know. It was an experiment. We're still getting data in. Yeah, it had adverse effects for some people. Some people it hasn't done anything to. And so this idea that we should condemn and outcast people because they got a shot, yet they agree with us on everything else, is stupid. It's so stupid. And it's the reason the country is so divided right now. You disagreed with me on that one thing. Go fuck yourself and die in hell. Like what is that? I mean, should we not reward people when they make a decision or they change their mind about something that they might have been wrong about in the beginning with? Or they open their mind to possibilities that before they closed off to? I mean, that's how you grow and come together. Nobody gets everything right the first time. Everybody makes mistakes. Ian, you know, improv, the whole idea of improv is you have to be willing to fail over and over and over again. If you're unwilling to go up on stage and suck over and over again and try stuff, then you will fail, because the only way that you're going to get good at it is going up there and failing. And so we have to reward people for failing and learning. Not to say that people fail in any decisions. The point is, it's just so stupid to have this battle of, I was right, you were wrong, fuck you, nobody should listen to you. There's not a person on the planet who has not been bamboozled by propaganda. Not one of us. Every single fucking one of us has been had at some point in time. And it's hypocritical to condemn others and say you're not worthy, because they fell for something that you didn't. Because you've probably fallen for something they did. That's another fucking tangent again. I'm sorry, let's get back to this case, because I want to go through this actual charge. It's so ridiculous. Here it is right here. This, I think it's, if you have the indictment, I don't have it pulled up, but I think it is count 38, I believe, that McAfee threw out after 7 months. Took him 7 months to realize it was fatally flawed. This is what the count, the now dismissed count, charges Trump with. It charges Trump with solicitation of a violation of oath of public office, of oath of a public officer. And it accuses Trump of unlawfully soliciting, requesting, importuning, which is like persuading or trying to pressure, Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger to engage in conduct constituting the felony offense of violation of oath of public officer by unlawfully This is the interesting part to me. By unlawfully decertifying the election, I should say this. This is a quote. So this entire accusation here in the charge, up until the word decertifying, is Fannie Willis's language. But decertifying, this is a quote that Trump said. This is the evidence that Trump committed the crime. Quote, by unlawfully, quote, decertifying the election, or whatever the correct legal remedy is. So that's what Trump said. They obviously took this quote out of context and they framed it around Fannie Willis's words to make it convey something that it doesn't actually convey. But Fannie Willis says by unlawfully, and then the quote, Trump decertifying the election or whatever the correct legal remedy is, and announced the true winner. And then it says in a willful and intentional violation of the terms of the oath of said person by prescribed law with intent that said person engaged in the said conduct contrary to the laws of the state. So that line there again, though, I really want to emphasize this. Did you notice the contradiction in what Fannie said, which she included, and the actual evidence that Trump committed the crime, which was a quote that he said? I mean, it literally contradicts itself within like seven words. It charges him with trying to get Raffensperger to violate his oath of office by unlawfully, as Fannie said, trying to get him to do something. And then to prove that he was unlawfully trying to get Raffensperger to do something, they included the Trump quote where Trump said, his own words, he said, they trying to decertifying the election or whatever the correct legal remedy is. The correct legal remedy. The evidence against Trump that he committed a crime is that Trump told someone to do something lawfully. This is the indictment. This is the one that took 7 months to throw out. Like when you separate the language there, it's confusing. Because like I said, they took it out of context and surrounded it by what Fannie wanted it to convey. What she's saying, though, when you really look at it, is that Trump is guilty of committing the crime of unlawfully telling Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger to use the correct legal remedy. How do you unlawfully tell someone to use the correct legal remedy? Nobody mentions that. I mean, it literally says that in the indictment, an indictment that took 7 months for the judge to declare was fatally flawed and needed to be thrown out. Unlawfully follow the law, I demand. That's the charge. You are guilty of telling the Secretary of State to unlawfully follow the law. The audacity of Fannie Willis to include as evidence that Trump broke the law, a quote of him literally telling Raffensperger to follow the law, is beyond me. And this is all they could find. Like, that is the best piece of evidence that she could find to include in this charge to indict him. This is the best she could find is Trump telling Raffensperger to follow the law. 7 months it took McAfee to get rid of that charge. And the entire indictment is like this. Every single charge is very similar to this. They're empty. They're fatally flawed. That's another signal. If McAfee were a truly fair judge, the entire indictment would be gone. All of it. The fact that only these counts and that it took 7 months to get rid of them illustrates not that he's doing the right thing, but that he only did the right thing because the circumstances of Fannie's corruption being exposed forced him to at least get rid of some of the bogus charges. Charges that would have been gone on day one in any other situation with a legitimate judge. I saw it on day one. I talked about it on the show. Many, many other people did too. Judge McAfee absolutely saw it, and he chose to leave this bogus charge and many other bogus charges in the indictment until he absolutely had to get rid of them. This is a corrupt judge who gives the appearance of fairness, and he's very good at that. He is very good at that, and he will fool many, many people. There's even more in this charge. It's so crazy. If you have experience reading these things too, the language is so specific and the way they move the words around, try to manipulate it. And most people never read any of these things. Most people just take the word of kind of the summaries that they hear from the legal experts on CNN, which is usually Jeffrey Toobin. So you have a legal expert who is famous for jerking off on a Zoom camera in front of his female colleagues, and not just jerking off on Zoom, actually taking the top of his laptop where the camera is and pointing it down directly at his dick and then jerking off at his female colleagues. A guy who got his job back at CNN after doing that is your legal expert telling you how to interpret the Fannie Willis indictment. And people are like, yeah. Reading the indictment conveys a different story than the lies that these Toobin jerk-off dudes convey on CNN and the other networks, even Fox, too. It's confusing. I mean, they use confusing language all the time, and they're good at that. Lawyers are very good at that. Fannie Willis, people call her stupid. She's not stupid. She's like evil. Like she's a bit, I don't want to say evil, but she's definitely someone that you don't want to be around, in my opinion. She seems like a nightmare who is just, I mean, she's like a mob boss, the way she carries herself to me, the way she behaved in that courtroom. I mean, cucking out the judge. One of the lawyers saying, "May I approach judge?" And then Fannie Willis responding, "You may," before the judge. It's not her courtroom. She responds that you may approach. And then the judge is like, you may. I mean, this is not a woman who is in any way concerned that this judge is going to do anything to hold her accountable. She even talked at one point during the hearing about how the judge used to work for her. This is an arrogant woman. This is an arrogant woman who last week was interviewed bragging about how she's excited to keep working with Fulton County and being their DA for the next 4 years. She is in no way of the belief that she's going to be removed. It is going to be interesting to see the reaction and what the implications of all of it are, because it's going to taint the case. Either way, the case is tainted. One way or the other. I don't know that they can actually get it to trial before the election. If they can't get it to trial before the election, then it's going to be pointless anyway. They'll try to, though. If they do, I think Trump has something to worry about. I never thought that he would actually get convicted of anything. But if this actually gets to trial before the election, and Judge McAfee is still the judge, and Fannie Willis is still the prosecutor, then this will not be a fair trial. And they will do everything in their power to put him in prison. They need to delay this. Whatever the outcome is today, it will be appealed. So we'll see. They're running out of time, though. They're also all making a whole bunch of money. That's the other thing nobody ever talks about. Everybody involved in this shit, even the ones whose reputation are being damaged, they're all getting rich off of it. Fannie Willis is going to write a book about it. She'll do a reality show. She'll do a speaking tour. Nathan Wade will get paid probably millions of dollars by the fattest 600-pound like black women he can find, have sex with them, because he's proven that that's what he's willing to do. I mean, you should see Sonia Allen. Sonia Allen makes Fannie Willis look like she's anorexic, and that's the first woman that he was hooking up with to get his job in Cobb County before he, you know, did all the corruption there and then got rewarded up to the Fulton County job. Where's the, so the final line in this indictment, I'm, it's just so maddening, man. Like, everybody's such a grifter. Everybody's a grifter. They're all full of shit. People on the left, people on the right. I see all of these people on the right. This lawyer who goes on to Megyn Kelly on a regular basis and just says bullshit. He says some true things, but then a bunch of bullshit. And I'm like, why are you saying bullshit? I was with you. You don't have to do the, you don't have to start to hype everybody up that this is the smoking gun. Everybody's like click horny. It's like clouded people's judgment. I'm not saying I'm not guilty of it. I am. But it's frustrating. I'm looking for that last line here in my notes of what it says on that one charge to get him unlawfully. Okay, so Trump committed the crime, as I said, of telling Raffensperger to unlawfully follow the law, which the indictment claims afterwards is an act, because this is what it says after Trump's quote. They inserted Trump's quote out of context in the middle of Fannie Willis's language. And after, before it said unlawfully, after what it said was that Trump encouraged Raffensperger to do this act, which would be in violation of his oath to the state. And then it goes on to say that Trump did so with the intent of trying to get Brad Raffensperger to violate the law of Georgia. So that's all of the confusing language with the evidence of Trump's quote in the middle of it. But when you really break it down, what it essentially says, when you take it apart, is that Trump told Raffensperger to unlawfully follow the law by telling him to do something that violates his oath of office that Trump knew would get him to break the law. Trump tried to get Brad Raffensperger to unlawfully do something that breaks the law. Does that make any sense? That's what he's charged with. You see the problem with the indictment here. According to number 38 count of the indictment against Trump, he's guilty of the crime of trying to get Raffensperger to unlawfully follow the law with the intent of trying to get him not to follow the law. I'm going to say that again just to really emphasize this, because this shit is pissing me off. The charge, essentially, when you break it down, that just got thrown out after 7 months because it's fatally flawed, obviously, is that Trump is guilty of the crime of trying to get Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia, to unlawfully follow the law with the intent of trying to get him not to follow the law. You see how stupid and ridiculous this is, and how could any judge allow something like that to remain for 7 months? He would have let it go all the way to trial had he not been forced to remove it. This is why him removing those freaking counts is not a good thing. I mean, it's good that they're gone, but it reveals his true nature and where he lies, and that he is biased, and that he's not fair. Man, I got to move to a different story. This stuff just pisses me off too much, especially this morning. Maybe it's better I do shows at night. Maybe I get more pissed in the morning about it, and I go a little bit more off the rails. But anybody who tries to argue that McAfee didn't know that this stuff was fatally flawed from day one is just full of it, because I did, and dozens of other people who also talked about it did. And we didn't know anything that he didn't know. He saw the same thing we did. And he's not stupid. He's smart. And I think he was put there to do just this, to protect Fannie and to give the appearance of fairness. So overall, like I said, Nathan Wade's probably gone. Fannie Willis is staying. There will be some warnings, and it'll be like when James Comey came out before the 2016 election after investigating Hillary, and he says all of the things that Hillary did. He says Hillary's guilty of everything everybody thinks she is. However, she's not guilty of a crime. It's going to be kind of like that, in my opinion. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I look stupid later today. I don't think I will. On to another story. It's enough Fanny for one day. Don Lemon. Don Lemon has some logic on free speech that I thought was very interesting in the past couple of days. You guys probably remember, you know, I should say this. Let me get this up on screen first. I don't want to blow the reveal, although you probably heard the story. Don Lemon, if anything, the guy is a man who's not afraid to do what it takes to, at no cost actually, to get back with his ex, to get back together with the one who really broke his heart. That being CNN, and the elaborate efforts that Don has gone to over the past, you know, 5 or 6 months or however long to satisfy his deep desire to once again be inside of CNN has apparently paid off, because last night he joined Aaron Burnett on CNN to discuss something that had just happened to him, a tragedy, if you will, that happened in Don's life. You probably remember when he announced a few months ago that he would be partnering with X to do a new show on the X platform. Everybody was excited about it. Don was excited about it. Elon Musk was excited about it. Even Tucker Carlson was excited about it. Everything was going well for Don Lemon. That is until after he had already recorded his very first episode, which was him interviewing none other than Elon Musk. 24 hours later, Don finds out that his X show is canceled. Musk canceled it. What happened? Why did Don have to suffer the oppression of Elon Musk? And that's what he was on CNN with Aaron Burnett talking about. And in this first clip here, he's telling Aaron what happened that caused Elon Musk, after their 90-minute interview, to do a flip and cancel the entire contract they had entered into for him to do a show. It's pretty funny. Don Lemon, talk about a PR genius. I mean, this is actually some pretty interesting guerrilla marketing strategy he's doing here. But here he is talking with this bitch.
And joining me exclusively out front is Don Lemon. So Don, you do this 90-minute long interview with Musk. You sit down with him. This is the culmination. He had actively courted you to come on one of his tweets. Have you considered doing your show on this platform? Maybe worth a try. Audience is much bigger. It had been public. Then you had reached a deal. I'll talk about that later. Then he texts 24 hours after this 90-minute long interview, which is the first of your show launching. He says, contract is canceled. What happened?
Yeah. First of all, it's good to see you.
Aaron. He's so happy. It's good to see you. He's so, look how happy he is to be there.
Thank you for having me on. That's a good question for Elon Musk. Quite frankly, what happened? I don't know. As I said in my statement, I felt really good about the interview.
Felt great about
it. I said to him as we were doing the interview, and it was tense at moments, but you've been involved in tense interviews.
Yep.
I said to him, I think it's good that people see folks like you and I who have different worldviews come together and talk, as he says, have free speech. Free speech is only important when someone you don't like, or I would say someone who doesn't have your same point of view, are someone is if they're allowed to speak freely and to say their point of view. Apparently, that doesn't matter to Elon Musk.
It's
just for maybe talking points for him or rhetoric, because it doesn't seem to matter when it's about him, questions about him from people like me.
It's a lot there. It doesn't seem to matter to him when it's about, you know, questions from people like Don, which I assume he's referring to a gay black propagandist that Elon Musk doesn't like to give free speech to, which is apparently what this issue is. This is a free speech issue. Don Lemon getting a contract to do a show for millions of dollars on a social media platform, getting that contract, you know, canceled, is a violation of Don Lemon's right to free speech. I didn't realize that. I mean, he's free to talk on X all he wants, and he is talking on X about all of this. Sharing video clips that he took, ran to CNN with. They play out of context on here. He plays some out of context on X. He's able to do all of that. Yet him not being able to get a multi-million dollar contract to produce a show on a social media platform is a violation of his constitutional right of freedom of speech. It goes even beyond that, though. We learn that it's not just him not being able to do a show that violates his free speech. Elon Musk refusing to answer a bunch of stupid personal questions that are intended to provoke him so that he can run to CNN and say, look what I got. Look what I did. I'm still in line with your propaganda message. Take me back. Elon Musk refusing to give into that is Elon Musk censoring Don Lemon. It's censorship via not answering every stupid question you've been asked. It's the flip side of the first. This is so convoluted. And this is what I was talking about earlier. If you want to be an actor or something, watch these con artists, because this is an exercise in taking the most ridiculous shit you've ever heard in your life and treating it like it's actually serious and real. No, my constitutional rights were violated and I've been censored because I asked Elon Musk what his social security number was, and he refused to tell me. Can you believe that? It's my constitutional right to know anything that I ask him. This is the Lemon logic that he is giving here and that this entire segment is framed around. Free speech. Let me play you next how she introduced this entire segment. I mean, this isn't just like a 2-minute segment. This is a 10-minute segment that aired on multiple different networks. He's been doing interviews everywhere. The people are taking this shit seriously simply because they hate the content that is on X. Now, people still get censored and silenced on X. I was put in timeout for a couple of days for telling the AJC to go suck Fannie Willis's D already, which I think they should do because, I mean, they might as well be doing it. It's not like it's a complete, you know, it's not free speech absolutism. But Don Lemon seems to think the fact that he can't get millions of dollars is a violation. So here is how she introduced the segment. Sorry, losing my clip spot here. Michael, by the way, Michael Martin, I was talking about where the case gets thrown to if Fannie Willis is thrown off the case. Michael, thank you. That is exactly what I was looking for. It goes to what's called the Georgia Prosecuting Attorneys Council. And there was another story, too, about, I can't remember the name of this either offhand, but it was this committee that was created, I think, last year, with the idea being that they're going to hold the district attorneys, try and hold them accountable across the state. But they established it, and then it had no power to do anything because the Supreme Court of Georgia, it didn't give it any power. So Kemp, last week, signed, I think, an order to bypass the requirement that the Supreme Court of Georgia grant power to this committee that's supposed to hold these district attorneys accountable. And the news about Brian Kemp signing this, everywhere in Georgia was like, Brian Kemp signs it, could be going after Fannie Willis. But then when you read the details of it, it's not going after Fannie Willis. It's just more sensationalism trying to fuel this hopium that people have about, you know, I think it's people going for clicks or people just wishful thinking. I hope they get her. She's not good, man. That whole office is awful. Here is Aaron Burnett's intro to that. Is that the right one? Hold on a second. I'm not, by the way, I don't necessarily trust Elon Musk either. I don't want you guys to think that I don't trust anybody who has $1 billion, is the richest person in the world, and, you know, hundreds or however many government contracts he has. But what he does, what he says sometimes, I don't disagree with. But Don Lemon, maybe they're working together on this. I have no idea. I don't think so. I don't think they are. I think Don Lemon pulled off a pretty slick publicity stunt. I don't know that he went the right way with it, but it worked for him. And here is how Aaron Burnett introduced the segment with Don Lemon.
Elon Musk tells Don Lemon, quote, contract is canceled, end quote. Now, in a moment, I'm going to speak exclusively with Don Lemon, and he has clips of the nearly hour and a half interview with Musk. Clips like this one that we received from Don's production team.
Don, the only reason I'm doing this interview is because you're on the X platform and you asked for it.
That right there is, the Harem Life said that Elon wasn't slick enough. So Don Lemon was able to do something that he never could have done if he were still on CNN, which is interview Elon Musk. Elon would have never gone on CNN. He talks all the time about how they're bogus, they're fake, they lie, and he knows that if he went on there, they would just drill him with stupid questions, like the same questions that Don took this opportunity to drill him. Don Lemon was presented with an opportunity to have Elon Musk. I mean, they're in the same room together. This is not a Zoom interview. He came, and wherever they are, I don't know, but they're sitting down together. And Lemon, who had been outcast from CNN, who was welcomed with open arms to X and offered the opportunity to do a show on the platform and make millions of dollars. Even Tucker Carlson was saying, like, you're one of us now. We've all been kicked off of our networks. Let's come together. And, you know, it could be some psyop in that, too. But the point is, presented with this opportunity from this person who welcomed him in with open arms after he was basically hashtag Me Too'd off of CNN for being a chauvinist, is one of the main reasons he was gone. He decides to set up Elon Musk and do the exact same thing to him that he would have done had Elon ever gone on CNN and asked him a bunch of stupid, ridiculous questions for the purpose of propagating the same narrative that CNN and all of the other mainstream networks are propagating. The questions that he asked him, and she's going to play some of them, are the exact same things that everyone on CNN always says about Elon Musk, always says about X. It's like Don Lemon is saying, look, I know that we're not together anymore, powers that be, but I'm letting you know that I am still a soldier in your propaganda army who will carry your message wherever I am. Please take me back. Or it was an elaborate publicity stunt that he's going to try and direct people to wherever he's going next, and he's just betting on that making him more money than whatever he could have done on here. I don't know. I will give him credit, though. He's an exceptional con artist. Don Lemon is.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would not do this interview.
So you don't think, do you think that you wouldn't get in trouble or you wouldn't be criticized for these things?
I'm criticized constantly. I could care less.
We're going to have more clips from Lemon's interview with Musk in a moment. In a statement earlier today, Lemon writes in part, quote, there were no restrictions on the interview that he willingly agreed to. We had a good conversation. Clearly, he felt differently. His commitment to a global town square where all questions can be asked and all ideas can be shared seems not to include questions of him from people like me. Now, CNN reached out to X for their comment, and their response is, quote, we reserve the right to make decisions about our business partnerships. And after careful consideration, X decided not to enter into a commercial partnership with the show. Now, this decision, coming as Musk had, of course, publicly courted Lemon and has repeatedly made a commitment to free speech when he bought Twitter again and again and again.
Well, I think it's very important for there to be an inclusive arena for free speech where all. Twitter has become kind of the de facto town square. Free speech is meaningless unless you allow people you don't like to say things you don't like. Otherwise, it's irrelevant.
I really can't emphasize this enough. We must protect free speech. And free speech only matters, it's only relevant when it's someone you don't like saying something you don't like. It's damn annoying when someone you don't like says something you don't like. That is a sign of a healthy, functioning free speech situation.
Again and again and again. And remember, Musk's X has over 250 million daily active users. 250 million people on this planet resolve it. It is the town square.
That's the framing of this, that this is about free speech. This is so not about free speech. There's no violation of free speech. Look at Don Lemon's Twitter page. Let me pull this up. Don Lemon is not censored on X. He is all over X. Like here's a video of Lemon saying, for those wondering, if I asked the hard-hitting questions of talking about Elon Musk, he has hashtag the Don Lemon Show March 18th, so I guess he's going to bet on YouTube. He leaves a little 10-second clip of him here. Really asking the hard-hitting questions to, at least in his opinion, to Musk.
So let's get into it. Are you under the influence of anything?
You said you learned your lesson. What did you learn?
So you don't consider that hate speech.
What is the evidence?
Do you know what the term woke actually means?
You have any responsibility to the truth? So let's get into it.
So there he is, making it look like he is just asking Elon Musk all of the questions that nobody's afraid to, or nobody will ask him to his face. And it's on Elon Musk's platform. And yet this is a story of Don Lemon being oppressed because he's not being, his right to free speech is being violated because his multi-million dollar contract was canceled. But I mean, they didn't officially, I guess, confirm it because there'll be legal aspects of it, but what kind of convolution of reality is this right here? I mean, this is a privileged person who's reaching millions of people right here who used this position he was in knowing that Musk is being friendlier to people who are willing to do stuff on the platform, like Tucker Carlson, and there's some others as well, that he could get Musk to come in there, and he decides to use that opportunity to suck the dick of the organization, try to anyway, who ousted him. Screwing over the person welcoming him in the process. I mean, that's what a piece of shit. You know, what a piece of shit. Thanks for welcoming me after I was hashtag me too'd. Now I'm going to stab you in the back. That's Don Lemon right there. He's trash. So he goes on. It's just fun. He says some funny shit too. So George Santos, the con artist, Republican guy, you know, he's a piece of shit. Like, he ran these schemes where he raised money for sick dogs or something like that. And he stole all the money instead of giving it to the sick dogs. He's a piece of shit. But he does say funny shit sometimes. That's ridiculous. Don Lemon's the same way. He continues. Make sure I got the right one here. So here I think she gets into some of the clips that he had. So he brings all these out of context clips that makes him look good and conveys the message they want while making Elon look like, you know, I guess a racist Nazi or whatever the hell they want to call him.
So when you said that, I wanted to play some of the clips because some of them are illuminating. These are clips that you shared with us. This is a part of the conversation with Musk where you ask him about hate speech.
Hate speech.
Here it is.
Hate speech on the platform is up. You believe that X and you have some responsibility to moderate hate speech on the platform?
Look at Elon Musk's face right now. He's sitting there going, I gave this guy the opportunity to do a show on my network. I came all the way over here, wherever the hell we are, to do an in-person interview with him for his first show. His first show is going to be me, like the richest person in the world who owns the platform. And this motherfucker is sitting here asking me about hate speech that I allow on my platform. What a piece of shit.
You wouldn't have to answer these questions from reporters about the Great Replacement Theory as it relates
to... I don't have to answer these questions.
Great Replacement Theory as it relates to Jewish people. Do you think that...
I don't have to answer questions from reporters. John, the only reason I'm doing this interview is because you're on the X platform and you asked for it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would not do this interview.
So you don't think... Do you think that you wouldn't get in trouble or you wouldn't be criticized for these things?
I'm criticized constantly. I could care less.
Illuminating in so many ways.
All right. That's illuminating in so many ways, that line of questioning. That wasn't a question. That was an accusation in the form of a question, accusing Musk basically of spreading anti-Semitic hate speech on his platform and allowing others to do the same, which is the same message that CNN has been promoting for a while now, as well as MSNBC. And Don Lemon's like, I'll do it on my own and I'll bring you the tapes. But that's illuminating for Aaron Burnett here. In so many ways. And then Lemon goes on. Look at his face here. Let me let this play a little bit here.
I have two things.
Look how satisfied he is. Look how happy he is that he got him. What a piece of shit this guy is. He is so happy with himself right now. I mean, what a smirk he's got right there. What they talk about there is anti-Semitism, Jewish people, and they talk about the Great Replacement Theory and... He goes on to talk. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but he goes on to say that Musk doesn't understand that when he is saying things like he says on X about immigration and the problems at the border, that what he is doing is he is causing people to shoot up schools. He says he doesn't understand that his language on X is causing people, because we read their manifestos, to go shoot and kill a bunch of people in schools. I mean, what a dick sucker of the man right here to just say the most stereotypical bullshit talking points after getting an opportunity to reach far more people on X than he's ever going to reach on CNN. Look at that smirk, man. I have to say, Don Lemon's an asshole, but he's probably a funny drunk, which I'm going to play you a clip of him drunk here in a moment. The next clip... He starts talking about Elon Musk's use of drugs. So that's what he goes into next. Elon Musk is here. Let me start by asking you why you're an anti-Semite who spreads hate speech. Now let's talk about how you abuse illegal drugs. That's where this is going next. Let me get the other one up here. Just what a dipshit, man. Here he is.
Here's another clip. You talked about ketamine in this particular instance, something that he has discussed before. Here he is.
You talk about your ketamine use and depression. Have you you also have said, and
the reason I should say,
you talk about your ketamine use and your depression is the way you started that question.
I mentioned the ketamine prescription on the X platform was because I thought maybe this is something that can help other people. Yeah. That's why I mentioned it. Obviously, I'm not a doctor, but I would say if someone has depression issues, they should consider talking to their doctor about ketamine instead of SSRIs.
Yeah. Very civil conversation, but that is where it got very personal.
Well, it got personal, but I didn't put that out there. He has spoken very freely about his use of, those are prescription drugs, but about his use of ketamine. I would not have brought it up.
He posted it. Yeah.
And so I would not have brought it up.
He says he wouldn't have brought it up. There's no way that he didn't tell Elon before this interview, here's an idea of what I want to talk about. And there's no way that he told him any of this. He almost definitely told him something else and then blindsided. The bait and switch here. I mean, who does that? Hey, you spread hate speech. Now let's talk about your depression and your, as he's about to mention here, illegal use of ketamine and other drugs.
Because that's someone's personal information. So I asked him about it. Also, it's no secret. His drug use, or alleged drug use, I should say, has been extensively written about it by very credible news organizations like the Wall Street Journal.
They're so
credible.
And I asked
him that, and he said, listen, I have not read the Wall Street Journal. I don't read the Wall Street Journal. If I don't have time to read about everything that people write about me, I would never get anything done. But also, if we remember, on Joe Rogan, he took a puff of marijuana, right?
Oh, my God.
He said it was just a joke, and I only took one puff. Elon Musk is responsible for satellites, for Starlink. He's responsible for Tesla.
And he smoked marijuana.
He's responsible for a number of different companies on the in the stock market.
Yep.
And I think that it is important for people to understand his mindset, whether he's using drugs legally or not, and even if the ones he's using,
that's
supposed to be
one of the most powerful people on the planet.
But ones that he's supposed to be, that he is using prescription wise, that he's following a doctor's orders under that.
So that's a weird little part there. Don Lemon, he's worried and he wants people to know if Elon Musk is taking the drugs his doctor prescribes him according to the prescription. You're not taking too many or too few. What a weird little personal detail there to go into. And I didn't realize this. Maybe you guys knew this. I didn't know that Elon Musk put all of the Starlight satellites that are in space in jeopardy when he took one puff of marijuana on Joe Rogan's show. They could have all fallen out of the sky. I mean, we averted disaster. This coming from Don Lemon, who is the reason why CNN changed their alcohol policy for their anchors on their New Year's Eve show. They changed it. They no longer allow anyone other than Anderson Cooper and that other gay guy who are doing the broadcast earlier or something. I don't know why they get the exception. They can drink a few drinks, but nobody else who is the in-the-field anchor, Don Lemon, are allowed to drink anymore because Don Lemon's antics got so insane. Piercing his nipples live on screen, taking shots, getting on stage and screaming at people, pulling his shirt up, talking about dicks, which I talk about dicks. Everybody talks about dicks sometimes, but Don Lemon talking to, I think it might have been Dulce, actually. I'm not even going to go into the details of it. I'll play the clip for you. I'll let them hear it. It's a pot calling the kettle black a little bit here to criticize someone for taking one puff of marijuana on television who spends every New Year's hammered drunk embarrassing his network.
But yes, he's one of the most consequential people to the planet. And that was one reason why I was attracted to that.
In this conversation, you did talk about Trump. And again, given his role, he's one of the most powerful people in the world, running X, who he is going to support, whether he...
All right, so that clip, that clip's kind of boring. He tries to pressure Musk into saying that he's supporting Trump. He says, did you meet with Trump when he was, I can't remember where they were, and they implied, and she does here wrongly, that Musk went to Mar-a-Lago. He didn't go to Mar-a-Lago. Musk was somewhere else, and Musk said that Trump came to where he was, and they had a conversation, and then Lemon is like, did you give him money? Are you giving him money? He actually asked him, are you loaning him money to pay for his legal fees, is what he asked him, and Musk said no, and the whole idea was to make people think that Musk is supporting Trump. which Musk refused to say. But I love that interview he did. He's like, I'd like to sit here and talk to you, Mr. Musk, about your anti-Semitic hate speech that you like to spread, your abuse of illegal drugs, and the fact that you are supporting a MAGA Nazi. Could you please talk to us about that? That's basically the interview. And then this final moment here, he brings it all the way back around to what they started the segment with, which is the free speech angle, a very, very interesting angle to take. What an elitist angle to take here. I mean, people actually get censored. They actually get their stuff removed. I have had an entire website removed from the internet. And I know that free speech deals with the government censoring people. There's some people who like to, pick holes about that. But when you have Google, has all these contracts with the government, and they are working on these disinformation initiatives together, and they're funding all of these corporations for the purpose of eliminating certain speech that the government dictates which speech is eliminated, and then my entire website gets taken down, and half the videos I have get taken down, which I provide actually evidence that proves. I don't say anything. I just show evidence of it. Here's a court. I show court document. Gets taken down. I get a strike on my channel, which happened many, many times. That's censorship. Don Lemon's censorship is I'm not getting multi-million dollars for doing a show. It's just a very, very elitist thing. And it's why people hate CNN, and it's why people don't connect to these people. But they're all swindlers. They don't give a shit. They don't give a shit. Here he is closing this bullshit out with his free speech.
What's interesting to me in all of that and all these questions that, about what people are asking me, what I asked Elon, what happened? What did I do?
Yep.
During the course of that interview, I never raised my voice. I told him,
so nice.
I think this is important for people to hear,
so nice.
Especially considering how the type of discourse that we're having in the country right now. And he supposedly says this is a public square for all.
Yeah.
Maybe we're learning that a public square should not be privately owned by someone who doesn't think that there should be any moderation on that platform. It was interesting because at the end, I could tell that he was upset. He was uncomfortable. It was tense. And I said, listen, I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable. As a matter of fact, I would go and have a beer and hash these things out. You and I do not disagree. You and I do not agree on much.
Yeah.
But I will fight for your right to be able to say what you want to say. That's what freedom of speech means to me.
And 24 hours later, then.
And 24 hours later, it means done. Freedom of speech does not mean, I guess, the same thing to him as it does to me.
Clearly, it means something different because what we just heard in that same sentence is that freedom of speech to Don Lemon means that Elon Musk should not be able to own X unless he's going to censor it. In the same sentence, he says, Elon Musk, maybe he shouldn't be able to own X as a private citizen unless he's going to have all this moderation in place, censorship. And then he censors me. He's not about freedom. It's just such, and I know it's pointing out the obvious and what they always do. It's just an illustration of elitism, man. And I don't know how you can defend an appearance like that. I don't know anybody who does. I don't really know anybody who likes Don Lemon anymore. I think Don Lemon's kind of burned a lot of bridges now, and I don't know that it was a wise choice for him to do that. Like, I've never run into somebody who's been like, no, I'm really a Don Lemon fan. I love what Don Lemon's doing. I'm sure they're out there. I haven't come across him, but the fact is he's a good liar. He's an experienced, a seasoned liar. So there will be work for him somewhere. You know where he will probably end up, if I had to guess? News Nation. They'll bring him on News Nation, and they'll put him right next to Chris Cuomo, and we will get to relive the little gay interactions that Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon used to have when they passed off one show to the other on CNN all of the time. I'm predicting that comes back. Get rid of that shit. All right. So, yeah, I told you my overall thoughts on that. This is a PR stunt is what it was. And, it's Don Lemon signaling, hey, I'm still part of the establishment. Welcome me back. If you want me, I will continue to spread your propaganda message and I will screw over people who try to be nice to me. So moving on to this next story. I love this story. Like, stories like this make me laugh. They make me laugh because this story, it's about Trump, and Trump is being accused of something, as he always is. He's being accused of flooding the zone, as they call it. Let me put this on screen. Trump. Yeah. So did he signed with PBD? Is he going to also continue working at News Nation? I assume he is. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I did see that. And that does make me question that podcast now. Maybe the guy just, I don't know. You know, I was talking earlier about giving people a second chance, but I don't know. Chris Cuomo was the guy who pretended to be isolating himself during the pandemic. I mean, this goes beyond it. You guys remember when he was pretending to be by himself, but he was actually at his house in the Hamptons with his family doing these fake I'm sick videos in the basement while riding around on his bike and enjoying the public up in the Hamptons? It's just, it was such a fraud. And then you have all the stuff about his brother. I know it's his brother, but still, his brother was doing some pretty questionable things, and he's bringing his brother on to do this funny, silly segment, rub it in people's faces. At the very least, he could have not done that. I think Chris Cuomo has a lot more to prove before his redemption arc can start, in my opinion. Fannie and Wade, yeah. So you think Fannie's going to be disqualified? I hope so. I hope so. Wade will be. Fannie, no chance. I don't think. I want to be wrong about that. I don't believe it'll happen. So you think this was a setup to set Elon up? And, you know, I thought about that. He maybe would have been part of it. To usher, she says, think, change, repeat, to usher in regulation for social media and remove private ownership, and that they're all in cahoots, old Don and Elon. That's always a possibility. That, you know, that's always in the back of my mind. I also had keep in the back of my mind that they don't always work together, that it's hard to tell. It really is hard to tell until you see what the outcomes of it are. I don't know. I don't trust any of them personally. So you got into a fight with someone during... Oh, yeah, it's right. Chris Cuomo got into a fight with someone. I think he was biking or some shit like that. Chris Cuomo was terrible during the pandemic. He does not deserve a redemption arc yet. At least make him earn it. You don't get to do an interview with Tucker Carlson and pretend to like each other, and then all of a sudden you're redeemed. You know, you earn your redemption. Totally. Man, I really hope you're right. I hope that Fannie is disqualified. Last story, Trump being accused of, this is so funny to me. I mean, it's sick and twisted, but Trump floods the zone. This is the article headline for Axios. Trump floods the zone as general election test desensitize voters. The reason that I like this story, and you'll see when you see the contents of it, is because they're accusing Trump of doing something that in the article, they provide evidence that he's doing it, except the evidence they cite is them doing it. The media says Trump is doing this, and here's how we know he's doing it, and they show us them doing it. It'd be like, look, I know you're stealing money from me because I have a video of me stealing money from you. That's kind of the structure of this article. Like the argument is completely disconnected from the claim that's being made. It's like they don't even try to connect the two and have any reason or logic at all to what they're claiming. I don't know if it's because the person who wrote the article, their brain is broken, or if it's because the person who wrote the article wants those who read it and believe it wants to break their brains. Because this is the type of disconnect in logic and conclusion that is brainwashing. And when you go down and look at it, I'm just going to go through the article here. It starts with, this is a funny paragraph to me, with Tuesday triggering the start of a 34-week general election campaign. Hold on. Let me tell you what the picture is. Let me describe it to listeners. I'm sorry. The image with that headline I just read is a shadow image of Trump in profile position with what looks like thought bubbles or quote bubbles, white quote bubbles, increasing, three of them going upwards out of his mouth, and they're all on fire because everything that comes out of Trump's mouth is fire, and it drives people insane, and it makes them incapable of making decisions. Media has nothing to do with any of that, of course, just Trump. Back to that first paragraph. With Tuesday triggering the start of a 34-week general election campaign, critics of the former president are imploring voters and the media to hold the presumptive GOP nominee to the same standard as any politician. They're imploring the media to hold Trump to the same standards as any politician. What universe is this writer living on? where he thinks that Trump is getting it easy. They're taking it easy on Trump. They're not scrutinizing him at all. Treat him like the other politicians. I don't think they would want them to actually treat him like the other politicians, because if they did, they would have to stop calling him a racist, a Nazi, accusing him of raping everybody he comes across, and of being Putin's puppet. To think that the media is going easier on Trump than they are other politicians is hilarious. It's like a parody. And then they have the Why It Matters section they always have in Axios, which says, for eight years, the hurricane of news conjured by Trump's unprecedented behavior and rhetoric has enraged, exhilarated, and eventually numbed much of the American public. So it's Trump's fault. And it's Trump's fault alone. And then they give the consequences of Trump's numbing of the American with his, what they call the flooding the zone. Which is not, even though they're going to attribute that to Steve Bannon as a propaganda tactic, it's as old as time. They didn't just invent it. But the consequence of Trump doing this, they say, is that many voters have tuned out or they have priced in Trump's baggage and legal issues to the point where he's now favored to defeat Biden in November. So the only possible explanation as to why this RCP poll has Trump leading Biden is because Trump has been flooding the zone with hurricanes of ridiculous news and other things that has broken their brains and numbed them to reality and caused them to not pay any attention to his legal problems. That's the only possible explanation for why Trump is winning, according to Axios. Perhaps there's another explanation. I don't think at all that people tuning out from Trump's legal issues would cause him to rise in the polls ahead of Biden. I think if everybody tuned out like they are suggesting here, I think there would be a far more likely chance that Biden would be leading in the polls. The reason Trump, in my opinion, is likely leading in the polls is, well, not to mention that Biden is just, I mean, the guy's not there. They amp him up with amphetamines and cocaine eye drops, you know, once a month or so. And he screams through a speech. But other than that, he's not competent. You know, it's obvious. I think people recognize that. But also, people are paying attention to Trump's trials, to his legal issues. They're paying very close attention to it because they have recognized that the stories the media tells them about what's going on are bullshit and that they have to look at it closer and pay closer attention to it themselves. Watch the entire hearings, read the indictments and the documents, actually analyze it because you know they're lying to you. So you got to pay closer attention or you're going to get bamboozled. So Trump is leading, I think, because people not tuning out, they're tuning in closer and they're watching these con artists lie. And so they're ignoring the con artist. Yet Axios flips that on its head and pretends that Trump has just dumbed everybody down and convinced them that he's a great guy. Another thing is that this whole accusation here, or this whole premise about people are only supporting Trump because they're not paying attention to his legal issues, it's all premised on the assumption that Trump is 100% guilty of absolutely everything he's ever been accused of, and that nobody disagrees with that. It's a universal belief. That's the assumption here. Which is the dumbest shit. It's really stupid. And they'll yell at you if you say, well, are there other explanations? You're a Nazi. Like, but what about other explanations? You're a racist. But what about maybe you're a Christian white nationalist who rapes people? Wait a minute. Raping people? It's just these buttons, these triggers, these language landmines are programmed into people, mostly on social media, not as much in person, that as soon as somebody questions the only explanation that they've ever been offered to explain somebody's behavior, which is always the most condemning explanation, as soon as someone says maybe there's another, they are triggered to call you a long list of propaganda slurs. I mean, it's really kind of crazy because you could ask some of the same people, do you think that there's only one explanation to anything? At least that should be considered. everything right now that the media tells us about Trump and other figures and other stories they don't want us thinking about, they do this propaganda psyop that maybe not, you know, intellectually convinces them, because they don't think about it that way. It's all emotional, that there's only one explanation to tell them what happened here. But it makes them behave in a way that the first thing that they were told by the media that satisfies their confirmation bias is the only possible reason for what's going on. And all of the other explanations have been framed to violate or trigger cognitive dissonance, which they will avoid at all cost. That's the simplistic divide and rule strategy right there. Appeal to confirmation bias and appeal to the desire to avoid cognitive dissonance. Why would you go and seek out truth, which sometimes requires going through cognitive dissonance, which causes literal physical pain in the nodes in your brain? There's no incentive to seek that out when the media is just feeding you with all of this confirming information about things you want to believe. That was a little bit of an aside, but our psychological biases are sometimes our biggest strength, but oftentimes exploited as one of our biggest weaknesses. They all act like he wasn't. I know, you're right. The harem life, they all act like he wasn't president for 4 years. It's the same shit. He's going to eliminate democracy. He's going to be a dictator for life. And he's going to have a van that drives around the country, and him and Rudy Giuliani are going to personally cut the wombs out of every woman in the country because they want to be in control of their body. They say the same crazy shit, even though he was already president and didn't do all of the things before. But this time, he has nothing stopping him, is what they say. I don't know. I mean, I know I talked about earlier about the consciousness, really, of pathological liars. I know people who are in power, they do studies where people with psychopath traits, tend to be in the politicians and other leadership, or, you know, CEO, the people who always end up collapsing companies by, you know, filling their own bank accounts and pockets with billions or millions of dollars, they always end up being psychopaths, obviously. Maybe that's like a disconnect that I don't understand, because I don't get that. I don't get that mindset. I just don't get how you can wake up every morning and go to work knowing that your job is to deceive everyone, millions of people that you're talking to, without thinking about the broader consequences of that, which there are. I mean, the media, you can't even say the media is the enemy of the people, which they are. They have blood on their hands. It's provable. It's the biggest control mechanism and the biggest problem. It causes all the problems in this country, the media does, because it controls the pictures in people's brains. And unless people are outside experiencing certain things, and people themselves, outside of the influence of what they're told about people and experiences from the media, then they have no idea that they are being conned by people who are simply getting paid millions of dollars to lie to them, and who are pretending to be some progressive activist or whoever that's like. Most of the people who get people to go do activism and shit, I don't like activism. I get that there's good activism, and I get people have a good intent and heart in doing it sometimes, but nothing's more co-opted than activism. And the people who organize activists to go, quote, put their bodies on the line like they always tell them to do, are never on the front lines themselves. They're behind the scenes watching with their binoculars as people who they conned into going to engage in violent action for some cause that is usually vague and unattainable. Because if it were attainable, then the problem could be solved and the organizer and the politicians would lose all the power they have over the activist. So they have to con them with unattainable goals. Stacey Abrams is who I'm thinking about. These people rise politically from their towers in the sky, pretending to be one of the activists they organize. It's the, not to go into the Black Illuminati right now, or whatever Illuminati, but I've been talking about Fannie Willis a lot and looking into all the people that she has hired in the district attorney's office of Fulton County since she got the job. She's hired basically nothing but members of the Divine Nine fraternities from the HBCU schools, which are called, and this is not me, this videos of them, right? They call themselves the Black Freemasons. And the Black Freemasons, the origin of them comes from the Skull and Bones, because these white elitists wanted to control the black population using black people because they trusted the black people more. And it's the same. It's like the same shit with Stacey Abrams, pretending to be just like the people she's conning because the color of her skin is the same, when the reality is, it's bullshit. She's using them. It's all bullshit. Man. Is that all right? Back to the article, man. I just go off on tangents sometimes. I gotta control that a little bit better. Moving down here, where was I? Oh yeah, I want to tell you the examples, which I, you know, prompted like 10 minutes ago. But the Hurricane of News. And then so they bring in the expert now to explain things to us from the Financial Times. It's a guy named Ed Luce. He's going to explain this phenomenon of Trump flooding the zone and numbing voters into ignoring his legal issues and therefore supporting him. He calls this phenomenon the banality of chaos. I guess that's a coin that this asshole termed. And he says that Trump's candidacy is so far off the charts, it's almost paranormal. It's almost paranormal. No explanation of what that means. And then he writes that most of the president's former controversies, they just no longer break through to the public. And again, the only explanation is that Trump has flooded the zone and numbed them to this reality. It has nothing to do with the media crying wolf over and over again or people investigating things themselves. You call somebody a racist every single day. You call everybody a racist. Nobody's a racist. And then when an actual racist comes around, nobody's going to believe you when you call them a racist. And then it says that in 2018, former Trump chief strategist Steve Bannon argued that the best way to neutralize the media, which he labeled the real opposition, is to flood the zone with shit. Bannon did say that again. He wasn't the one that created that strategy. It's as old as time. And then it says, mission accomplished. Lucy argues mission accomplished, citing events from the last 5 days alone. So, this is my favorite part. He's showing that Trump is flooding the zone. And these are the examples of what Trump is doing to the American public. Listen to this. On Friday, he says, Trump posted a nearly $92 million bond in a New York court to appeal damages a jury ordered him to pay to writer E. Jean Carroll after he was found liable for sexually abusing and defaming her. So that's the first example of Trump just brainwashing the public, is him appealing a case that there's not a person in the country who wouldn't appeal it if they were in the same situation. If he doesn't accept that he just has to pay this woman who is a proven liar and her story is the most ridiculous, bogus story you've ever heard in your life, if he doesn't just give her $100 million, then what he's actually doing is flooding the zone and trying to brainwash the American public. So you're not even allowed to defend yourself. That's the first example. The next one of him flooding the zone is on Saturday. Trump mocked Biden's lifelong stutter and called journalists attending his rally in Georgia criminals. So who's responsible for that being all over the news? Is Trump responsible for that? No, the media is the one that showed that. So how is that Trump flooding the zone? That's the media doing it. And they continue to do it. It says on Sunday, Hungary's authoritarian prime minister, Viktor Orban, said that Trump promised him that he will end Russia's war with Ukraine by not giving a single penny in aid. So the third example of Trump consciously trying to flood the zone is a statement made by someone who's not Trump about Trump. I mean, this is the evidence and the disconnect in their argument here. Then he says on Monday, Trump vowed to free wrongfully imprisoned January 6 rioters as one of his first acts if he's reelected in November. Since when is promising to release wrongfully imprisoned? He didn't say rightfully imprisoned. He said wrongfully imprisoned. I'm gonna release wrongfully imprisoned people, and then you get accused of flooding the zone, spreading propaganda to numb the minds of the public. I mean, this doesn't make any fucking sense. Finally, he says on Tuesday, CNN's Jim Sciutto, who's a real asshole if you've ever seen him on TV, reported in his new book, these books are so stupid. They're all so stupid. He reported in his new book that Trump privately praised Adolf Hitler for doing some good things, according to former chief of staff John Kelly. So the final example that Trump is taking over the media landscape and consciously trying to numb the minds of the public is that some asshole on CNN wrote an unverified claim that's probably disputed in his book and then talked about it on CNN. Half of these Trump's not even involved in, yet they're accusing him of being responsible for. And this whole shit about Trump privately praising Hitler, what if he said Hitler took care of his dogs? He loved his dogs. Does that mean that Trump wants to kill 6 million Jews if he said that Hitler loves dogs? This idea that you only have to say awful things or you have to ignore the strengths of bad people is stupid. If you go into a war and your general strategy is to treat your enemy as though they're the dumbest people on the planet and you respect nothing about their ability or intelligence, then you're going to get killed and lose immediately. You have to recognize the strengths of the people who are bad. Otherwise, they'll dominate you. And yet, anytime somebody embraces that, which is normal, he's just like Hitler. He wants to kill all the Jews, including his daughter. This is like a parody, this shit is to me. It goes on to say there's plenty more to choose from, plenty to choose from, including his false claim that Democrats used artificial intelligence to create a montage of his gas. I didn't see that one. My guess is that maybe he did do that. Maybe he was kidding about it, because they tend to take things that he says when he's kidding and treat them literally. I don't know, man. I don't know what it would be like to work at one of these places. I think that might be like an interesting TV show or documentary or something where you get to get a glimpse inside one of the newsrooms at one of these places where they just sit around with their whiteboard and they're like, well, what are we going to talk about today? And it's like they have the word Nazi just drawn on the far end of the whiteboard and the rest of the whiteboard is blank. And they're like, how do we get there today? And then whatever happens that day, they just create a story that links all the way back and up to Nazi. The same conclusion every day. I don't know. It would be interesting. I know that what's his name? The guy who does, he infiltrates all these groups. The Veritas guy. What's that guy's name? You guys know what his name is. James something. James O'Keefe. James O'Keefe is cracking me up. Have you guys seen his latest videos? I mean, that dude is nailing the gay thing. He's got that gay character on lockdown. It's getting a little, yeah, it's gay guys in DC. How do you not know James O'Keefe at this point? It's like he's fooling every gay guy on Grindr who lives in DC. He's like taking an improv character and he's applying it to investigative reporting. He's doing a great job of it. It cracks me up. I feel bad for those guys sometimes, though. I think people get roped into positions, especially when they're young, and there's this feeling of power and you are doing something that other people look up to and admire. And I don't even think people necessarily get into it because they want to do bad shit. I think they can just kind of fall into it sometimes. And I think if O'Keefe really wants to get all the good footage that is damning, I think he needs to get his hands on all the hidden cameras inside the walls of Congress where all the gay sex videos are that they never talk about. You guys have heard those stories, I'm sure. There's two of them. They don't ever talk about them, but there's been two gay sex video incidents from hidden cameras in Congress that just got swept right under the rug. And they are clearly blackmail stories. Why would anybody want to be a politician? Unless that's what you're into. Like, if you're into that, yeah, go for it. Anybody else? I don't understand why you would want to be that. Thank you guys for watching the show. I was a little erratic today. I recognize that. A little sleep deprived. But it was fun anyway. And one more thing. I love this, and then I'm done. Did you guys see the... the humanoid robot, his name is Muhammad. They named it Muhammad, from Saudi Arabia. They unveiled this robot, and it tried to grab the ass of the presenter, which, you know, he knows what he wants. That's all. I wonder who programmed it. They're going to hashtag Me Too these robots. Here it is. Very short. It's dressed in a Saudi Arabia garb. Here. You see it? Look at it. So it's subtle. It is very subtle, but and it's probably just moving. It's probably just moving, but it happened to be in the right place at the right time where it looks like it's trying to subtly grab this chick's ass. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. All right, guys. Thank you guys for hanging out with me and for watching. And I hope for the best today. I hope I'm wrong about everything. I hope McAfee disqualifies Fanny. I'll keep my fingers crossed. And if he does, I will come back later and I will praise him and I will apologize. I'll talk to you guys next time. Have a fantastic rest of your day.